started.
The clock has started.
Five, four, four, three, two, one.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Small Scale Podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we aren't going to have our CEO, Dennis. Dennis is off doing something else. But this week we have the president and CEO, Mr. Robert Hereford of Innovative Solutions, Inc. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Nate.
So, Robert, you said we were talking right before this that you have not done a podcast before, right?
That is correct. This is our this will be our first.
Well, it's not our first. This is and not including the ones that we put in the trash just because I didn't know what I was doing. But this is the episode number 36, season one. So, as you can tell, we've done it a few times, so hopefully we do it right for you, and we get people to start calling you and let you know what you guys do at your company.
Well, thank you. We greatly appreciate that, and I can't tell you the group that, Nate, you've created, the Smalls here in Colorado, has become very influential.
Well, I'm hoping so, and I hope that's a good thing. You know, I think we're starting to get out there. We've had phone calls from the Pentagon. We've had Space Force contacting us. We've had, we just had people from all around the country, around the world, contacting us now. So it's a good thing. And stay tuned. Come January 1st of 2021, we are planning, knock on wood, to release the Smalls 2.0, which is going to be full of new things and exciting things. So keep an eye on our website at thesmalls.org for that new release on January 1st. So I'm excited about that.
We're looking forward to it.
So, Robert, okay, so you're the president, CEO, and you also told me you're also the founder of Innovative Solutions, Inc. So tell me, what does Innovative Solutions, Inc. do? Okay, what are you guys there to do?
Well, we have our value proposition is broken down into three areas. I'm going to hit these as a introduction, and then we will spend the other 30 or 35 minutes of the podcast talking about them in detail. So I would like you to imagine a data warehouse solution. Now, what is a data warehouse? That is a collection of all of the information that a company needs to run their analytics on and get answers from their data. But in our traditional solutions, we have all these tools that have to be done. Like when I worked at Oracle, we had the Oracle Data Integrator. And before that, we used another product called Informatica. And then you had to build the data warehouse. And then you had to add an analytics product on the back end of it. And then the ETLs, the extract transition load process, it's very fragile. One mistake and you can just destroy the entire data warehouse. It's not fun to be part of when that happens.
Okay, so let's pause there real quick. So, talk to me. Let's focus on the ETL because I know nothing. So I know warehouses, right? I've got sustainment background, so I know what a warehouse is. I know what a data warehouse is. It's essentially a server house where you're storing data. Any specific data? Are you talking, or is this at a classified level data, or is this in a cloud someplace? What kind of data warehouse are we talking?
It could be either of those. It could be either in the cloud on, say, Oracle's cloud. It could be on Microsoft's Azure cloud. It could be on AWS, Amazon Web Services cloud, or it could be on your own private cloud.
Okay.
So what those ETLs are is we have data in production, right? Let's say you have an enterprise resource planning system, whether that be something from Oracle or from IBM or from whoever, and you're literally bringing in millions of transactions in a given period, whether that's daily or weekly. And now what you would like to do is you'd like to have some analytics on that. You know, what are people buying from you? What resources have been used to actually make those sales? And what is your payroll cost? And are you paying your salespeople appropriately and in a timely manner? I mean, it could be a variety. We'll talk about some very specific examples as we get through this.
Okay.
But what those ETLs are, it's a process. And it's called extract. I'm going to extract the data, make a copy of it from production. Then I have to transform it. And the reason that I have to transform it is my data that's in production is two-dimensional, rows and columns, right? That's what a database is. Think about your Excel spreadsheet. That's really a database. You got your one table for every worksheet, and then when you put multiple worksheets together, what you really have is a database.
Yep.
And in Excel, you can link those together and do all sorts of fancy stuff with them. Well, the problem is Excel ends up with some limits, and so we end up with, you know, pretty complex data warehouse and database structures. But those are two-dimensional. In a data warehouse, is three-dimensional. So it has rows and columns, but it also has depth. So think of it like a cube.
Stacks, kind of.
Yeah, that's one of the architectures of a data warehouse, could be a cube structure.
Nice.
And so you can't just take data from the database that's two-dimensional and put it into a data warehouse. You actually have to transform that data so that it will go to the right place in that cube structure. So once I have it transformed, then I can load it into the data warehouse. And there are some nice tools for that. Informatica is probably the most popular. The other one is called Oracle's Data Integrator. I think it's actually a little nicer. But what if I could tell you there's a solution out there with no ETLs that does require no data modeling? That was that transformation is called modeling.
Okay.
We don't have to do the data modeling, and we give you 100% data fidelity. Within that, we include tools for data cleansing. So, for example, data cleansing. As you know, Nate, I go by Robert, but sometimes I go by Bob. Well, who am I really in a database? I might be both people. I might be Robert Hereford, and I might be Bob Hereford. Well, when I'm running analytics, that's not a good scenario. I need to know who you really are.
You got to be able to merge that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to cleanse it. I've got to clean it up.
Okay.
So we got tools to do that. We have tools for data scientists. So if you need to write a very complex algorithm, and you might do that in something like Python or High Spark or R or Panda, or there's a whole bunch of other tools out there. But you have a data scientist because you really need to dig way deeper than a traditional analytics would allow you to do into your data, maybe to make some predictions, right? I want to know what my sales are going to be in the next quarter, the next 6 months, the next year, the next 5 years. Maybe I need to do some analytics for a bank that I'm trying to get a loan from. Well, that we would do that then with a complex algorithm, and we have tools that are already built in.
Okay.
Now, on top of all that, what if I could tell you this solution produces a ROI, or return on investment, of over 300%?
Sign me up.
with a net present value of $11 million. Now, you might ask, well, how in the world do you do that? Well,
first I'd say, how much is it going to cost me? Does it cost me $35 million to make that $11 million? Or?
Oh, no. Not even close. If we get into the pricing model, we got to have some details.
But of course.
The product starts at $71,000 a year, depending on your data elements, and goes all the way to $5 million a year, depending, again, on how big your data is. But we literally can process hundreds of millions of rows of data, and we have done that for companies like Starbucks, which I'll tell you a little bit about.
So before we go there, I want to get back real quick, and I apologize. I don't want to get too far in the weeds here because, you know, I'm a techie, but I know a lot of people out there listening to us aren't exactly as technical, or maybe they're not into the data analytics yet. So I want to make sure that we're very specific here and how we tell people what you guys are doing. I want to know, do you guys, so one of the things with that much data, right? You've mentioned quite a few times, there's millions of lines of data and stuff. The concern that I would have if I knew nothing about how data warehouses work would be, what kind of time is that going to take me, right, to do that, to run that? Do you have to download all my data and take it off to your office, or how does that work?
Well, our direct data mapping model will ingest records at about a million rows a second, about 5 billion rows in about less than 10 minutes.
Do you take like a AWS, what do they call them, snowball, and get that data to do that? Or, I mean, you can't do this off your home computer with a 40 meg download connection, right? I mean.
Oh, well, if we talked about what does it take to run this application, you can, like, literally, I have it running on my Dell M7510 workstation, which is a laptop. And it runs just fine. And I have pulled data sets as large as 10 million rows. And I have them sitting right in my my laptop.
That's amazing.
Now, the reason that we can do that is, without getting into like the real technical weeds of it with the Java Parquet files and the NoSQL database, but what we do is the data is left in shape, meaning it looks just like it did from wherever I pulled it from, but we compress it and to the factor of about 10x. So if I pull down a terabyte of data, I've just reduced that 10 factors down to a megabyte of data. So I've compressed that data, but yet I can still run analytics on it at lightning fast speeds. And we're going to get into that, but let me talk about some of the other two things that are so cool.
Sure. Yeah, let's go.
The first one I'm going to talk about is we had a very large systems integrator, somebody that is a multi-billion-dollar company, come to us and say, Bob, we are in trouble with our Oracle licensing. And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about that. My background, 18 and a half years at Oracle, I used to write dashboards and reports. And so I'm really familiar with the how Oracle works. And they said, well, we've estimated that it'll take us about 1,000 hours to get ready for Oracle to come in for an audit. And we've roughly estimated we're going to have about $1 million in fines. And I'm like, wow, okay. Well, when is the audit? The audit was 3 months out. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We are going to develop a compliance workbench for you so that you know exactly how many licenses you have, how many users are assigned to those licenses. Do you have licenses that have expired, but you're still have users against them? Do you have products that have no licenses, but you have users assigned to them? And have you logged service requests against products that you don't have a license for? Because that is a not just only a red flag, but it's a cause for a huge amount of fines with Oracle. We built the application in about a week. We delivered it to the client, and we had to show them a little bit how to use it. Because we gave them almost 3 months of time, 2 months and like 3 weeks, they were actually able to identify the areas. That's what our product does, identify the areas that are going to be, that Oracle is going to hit hardest on an audit, and they got them all fixed.
That's amazing.
And do you know how long it took them to fix those problems? Remember I told you that 1,000 hours?
Yeah.
Took them less than 40 hours to fix those problems.
Well, if you know what your problem is, typically it's at least you got a starting point. If you don't have a clue what your problem is, then you're really in trouble.
Exactly.
Especially with an auditor.
Yeah. Well, we're very proud of this. My background at Oracle was such that I used to write dashboards and reports for an organization called LMS. That's Oracle License Management Services. I used to write dashboards for Oracle Legal, and we were looking for, we were looking for customers that were violating Oracle's technical support policies. And because that's one of the things that we do, and then we go out and tell them, hey, you violated this technical support policy, and we need to get that fixed. Well, I just reverse engineered all that and put it into a little application that runs on a product that comes with every Oracle database. So there's nothing really to buy as far as the application goes. We literally sell the product for $5,500. And because our only goal with this product is to become a trusted agent of that client where it comes to Oracle. I now have over a dozen clients that call me before Oracle sales shows up and says, Bob, we really want you to be here when they show up. And I'm like, well, could we do it over the phone? That would be really nice. And some of them will say yes. Some of them will say, no, we want you to be here. I'm going to send you a plane ticket. We're going to give you per diem. I'm going to pay you a per hourly rate. And we're going to pay for your hotel and your rental car. And I've gone to those client sites. I went to one where they were revamping their entire Oracle ecosystem. Their environment, Oracle initially gave them a price of $160 million. It was a lot of hardware and a lot of software, a lot. When I got done with redlining the invoice from Oracle, it was down to less than $90 million. So just think, I saved that customer $70 million.
Sure. And you should tell them, from now on, I think you need to go in and say, look, I just charge like 10% of whatever I can save you guys.
that's your new
business model there, Bob.
I know. But again, what we do is we get in with this, and then we sell a couple of our other, like our data warehouse solution. Or what I'm going to tell you about next is, I think, one of the most exciting and innovative products on the line, where we say we are your data experts, but we will teach you how to protect that data, right? Because if you go out to Google right now and just type in the search bar, data is, you're going to find things like data is the new oil, data is the new currency, or my favorite one, data is the new bacon. So there you have it. Data is becoming a commodity that is extremely valuable. So being able to analyze that extremely fast, and to protect it and then save you money in the cases where Oracle is, that's what we're about.
Well, I just did that, by the way. So anybody that's out there listening in podcast land, if you're sitting in front of a computer, type that in. I actually come up with some of the biggest topics right now is data is versus data are. So I'm going to have to go out and
come. Well, there you go. I'm not going to do the English part of it. It is really data are, because data is plural, but everybody still says data is. It just makes more sense.
I've never done this. It's pretty interesting. So I'm guessing. So what you're saying, though, is that third leg of your business, or that third triad, is really the cyber portion, right?
It is. So we have we have a cyber threat assessment program that, in a nutshell, we come in, and this is all for free. We call this our cyber threat assessment program, CTAP. And we will come in, we will monitor your network. Now, we're not sitting there monitoring it. We have a tool that does it.
Sure.
And you're in complete control of that tool. After a few days, we'll look at the logs that have collected and generate a result report. And then we will review the report with your decision makers and help interpret those impactful findings. Here's what we currently see. Well, would you mind if we come in and analyze your network? Sure. As long as it doesn't mess anything up, we're not going to mess anything up. we generate a report, and we have to tell you, I'm sorry, it doesn't look very good. The customer says, oh my gosh, you're right. We need to make some critical decisions. After that, we'll talk to you about some various tools, some various hardware. Oh, by the way, it's hardware we use in our business to protect our network. So we eat our own dog food, so to speak. But it is a zero trust solution, meaning that we will capture the threats before they get to you. We will help you to analyze those threats, and we will actually tell you, in the case of, say, a phishing attack, or phishing is where you get an email and it says something like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Click here.
Yeah.
Well, you click there because it all looks good, right? You click there. And boom, it's locked your computer, and here comes some ransomware, and you know, now you're really in trouble. Kind of the latest one is they'll do it to your phone, and they'll get in and look at your pictures, and if you've got something there that's a little compromising, they'll say, I'm locking your phone, and I'm going to send these pictures to every one of your contacts in your email. Well, maybe your mom is in there and that's not really what you want happening. So you'll end up paying them. But let's get back to a couple of these, a little bit more in depth. We're starting to run short on time.
Yeah, actually, Robert, give me a second here. I'm just going to take us to a quick commercial. Then when we come back, let's get into whatever else you wanted to get into, okay?
Okay.
So give me 30 seconds. We'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Since 1974, CHAFA has strengthened Colorado by investing in community development and affordable housing. CHAFA's community development team partners with lenders across the state to offer the financing you need to grow your business. Talk to your local lender about CHAFA's Cash Collateral Support Program, which helps small and medium-sized businesses access capital that would otherwise be unavailable due to collateral shortfalls. To learn more, visit chfainfo.com. Welcome back to this week's Small Scales Podcast. This week, we have Mr. Robert Hereford, the president and CEO of Innovative Solutions, Inc. So welcome back, Robert.
Well, thank you very much, Nate. This has been an exciting time on the podcast today so far.
Well, yeah, I'm learning so much more than I knew just a mere 26 minutes ago about data warehouses and what you guys do. So just a real quick recap. So your three main things that you guys offer and focus on is data warehouse solutions, license compliance workbench, and zero trust cyber solution. And we just kind of went over all three of them right before break. So before we went on break, you kind of wanted to get back to a couple of things. So I'll let you go and let me know what you got.
Let's hit the data warehouse solution one more time, just a little bit, and talk about a couple of other things. When we first started our company, we actually won a contract. Our first contract was with the United States Navy to do some training on some Oracle products. The Oracle Data Warehouse, Oracle Single Sign-On, Oracle Identity Management, Oracle's analytics tool called Oracle Business Intelligence Enterprise Edition. And so we won the contract. It wasn't a big contract, about $65,000 just to do a little bit of training. And so as we sat down and kind of did our exploratory part, you know, talking to the technical folks that were working on the project, we found, wow, some of these people were extremely smart. They knew so much, but kind of what happened, management wasn't seeing the results that they were looking for. So management decided they needed some training. Well, they didn't really need the training. We gave them some tips and tricks and that kind of stuff to help speed them up. But they had been working on this data warehouse for 5 years. And wow. It wasn't in production. Now, how fast can we put the most complex of our data, our customers' data into a data warehouse? That would be 16 weeks. Okay. Let me just tell you about a couple of our customers. Here's one of our first customers was a client called Toast. I love these people.
I really do love how people name their companies. I think it's amazing. It's a fascinating story too, usually.
Yeah, it is. They said to us, instead of spending our time cobbling together our own reporting, we can now focus our energies on improving the customer experience. And that's what we are all about. Our second customer was Starbucks. And here's what Starbucks, a guy named Jay Singh, had to say about us. This is the kind of experience which I would like to continue having in all of my upcoming implementations. What a great example of solving complex problems with simplicity and speed. It is amazing how from proof of concept, that's 2 weeks, to production, we went live in 10 weeks with a very complex use case with billions of records. business users, I want you to hear that, business users are just amazed with the simplicity and performance. End users can actually use our product, which is not the case if you have, say, something like Oracle solution or Tableau solution or MicroStrategy. You have to be extremely talented to use those products. And I've used every one of them. Not to say that I'm extremely talented.
I was gonna say, that means you're really extremely talented.
I've used them all, and I dislike them all. Here's another company that I think they have such a great product, and that's called Shutterfly.
You love Shutterfly?
I love Shutterfly. We've been using their products long before they became a client of ours. Working with Innovative Solutions has been absolutely great. The dedication to our success throughout the course of the launch was phenomenal, better than anyone we had experienced so far. I honestly cannot say enough good things about the service that we received. I'm blown away by what we've already accomplished and the capabilities my team now has to manage their own data and work. So far, it's been the best money I have spent.
Wow.
Last one, Broadcom. Broadcom's a very large IT company. They do a whole bunch of different things. We're an organization that generates more than 10 times the revenue of 10 years ago. An innovation solution has managed that growth flawlessly. An analytics solution we've used in the past could not scale fast enough to handle that rate of expansion. So those are just a couple there, anecdotal, and you can look on our website INN, that's India Nancy Nancy dash SOLS, Sam Oscar Lima Sam.com, and you'll find all of those and a few more. But the last thing I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, Nate, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I really like that. Those are stories. To me, it's more important. If let's say I'm a CEO or business owner and I need a product, I don't care what that product is. And Robert, you and I've talked before, you know, at Smalls events and PTAC events. And I don't know, I'm hoping I display what I'm wanting to display when I talk with people. I'm truly, truly interested in that person and what they're about, what their company does. The business side will come with the relationship. To me, it's more about relationship building. And then after you do a successful job on, you know, when they take a chance on you and do that successful job, and you get those things like that, those comments from those companies, that's what warms my heart. That's what really makes me feel good about helping somebody is getting that feedback to say, oh, I have done a good thing. So congratulations on that. I think that's huge.
Well, I learned some valuable lessons my last 7 years at Oracle when I was in sales, and where Oracle pushed you to get every dime out of a client. And it's actually why I resigned from Oracle. I just couldn't do what they were asking me, because I really care about my clients. And if you don't need something as a sales rep, I'm going to tell you, you don't need that. You don't need it. You can't use it, and it won't do you any good. But if you have something that you really do need, then let's talk about how you can make the most and get the most bang for your buck for the product that you're going to buy. You're going to buy something. Let's buy something that you could really use. And Nate, you hit on a topic that is so near and dear to my heart, and that is that people buy from people they like.
Yep.
And it really is as simple as that. And if there's any sales reps out there and you're wondering, oh my God, how can you be successful with attitudes like like that, I would encourage you to go out and find a sales book that's called Selling with Noble Purpose. There's a part two to that book that's called Leading Sales Teams with Noble Purpose. It will change your life, and you will start winning over customers that you would have never thought you would have won before.
I, for one, am going to go out and look at those books right now after this, because I love those self-help books, because there's quite a few of them that I've actually read that the same type of thing, right? That has really changed my, not just not how I do work, but my lifestyle. It sounds weird.
Yep.
Another book, one of the books that I thoroughly enjoy is by a guy by the name of Richard Sheridan. He owns a company called Menlo Innovations, and he has a couple books, one being Joy Inc. And that's exactly what he talks about, is how to be joyful and how to develop a joyful company where people are happy. And that's just huge, right? That book, those books have seriously just changed my life. And now because of that, I literally contacted him on LinkedIn. We've had a few conversations. I'm now wanting to do business with a guy with my current day job work. So, you know, it's things like that. And it's because of the person, not because of what they can do or what their end product is.
It really is. You build relationships that then build your business. And that's why we sell this Oracle solution for so little. It really just covers our cost on it. And it's because we want to build relationships and get into places where we might not have ever have gotten into before. But I do want to just say one other thing about both of our Zero Trust solution and our data warehouse solution.
Sure.
We will do proof of concepts at no cost. Usually those are somewhere between 3 and 6 weeks long, depending on how deep they want to get into it. Remember, the cyber threat assessment program is 100% free. There's no cost to it whatsoever. And we have professional cyber experts from the Army, from the Navy, and from civilian practice who are certified and experts in the cyber world. That, unfortunately, is not me. But I will tell you, I instilled to them the same attitude and, persona that I have when we're dealing with our clients. Because we are truly out for our clients' success first, our success second.
You have to be, otherwise you will never get repeat business. If you put client first and get to know the person itself, that's what's going to drive not only them to do repeat business, but them to then now say, hey man, I just worked with these guys. You need to call them up if you have the same problem, right?
Well, that honestly, that just happened. We did this implementation at Cisco. Somebody at Cisco told somebody at Fortinet, and we got a call from Fortinet saying, can you do what you did for them for us? And we're like, well, yeah, of course we can do that.
Only we can do it better. we've had lessons learned. But the cyber threat, let me get on that real quick. Are you guys looking at this from a DoD NIST 800-171 standard or CMMC or just cyber threats kind of in general?
I'm really glad you asked that. We have actually completed our NIST 800-171, and the company where we get our hardware from has actually certified hardware for the government, for the DoD.
Okay.
So yes, we are definitely looking at it from a CMMC level, from NIST 800-171, and the families that are in that program, I will tell you, we started the 800-171 in January, and we just finished it in mid-October. It's a hump to get there. Let me tell you.
Yeah, and that's what I keep telling other people. CMMC stuff. If you're not thinking about CMMC yet, do it now. And they're like, oh well, yeah, but you know the government's kind of slow rolling that. Well, here's the reason why I tell people to go get their CMMC certifications or start down that road right now is because even if the government does push this to the right, you'll be one of the first contractors out there, which is a huge distinguishing factor when you have to go get a contract and there's only five of you that took heed and went and got your CMMC certification up to level three, and all 347,000 other contractors said, now we're just going to wait to see what happens. That would be a distinguishing factor. So I applaud you guys to get out there and start thinking about that stuff already, especially getting through your NIST 800-171 is a big thing.
Well, it puts us only four families away from CMMC level one. And then from CMMC level one to level three, we wanted to do this step by step, because what I didn't want to do is just go to CMMC level three. And I know other people do it. And that's fine. We're just not built that way. We are built on a step by step.
And if you don't have to, right? I mean, there's certain contractors that are going to have to, right? Because they're already, you know, processing classified data, whatever. They're going to have to get to a certain level, step one, right? They can't do baby steps, because otherwise they're not going to be able to bid on the next follow-on of the work that they currently have. So,
correct. Yeah, well, we expect to have our CMMC level one by the end of January, when we're actually going to be presenting our data warehouse solution to DISA. But I will tell you what that CMM, we were about halfway through our CMMC level one when I met our NIST 800-171 certification. We're about halfway through it. This is like March, it's like right before COVID started. And I met some folks from Deloitte, and they said, are you guys even thinking about NIST 800-171? I said, yeah, we actually have the entire packet of the 14 families already done, and now we're working through those families to be sure that we are in compliance. And they're like, would you become a partner with us? Can you imagine a small company like us being asked, not going to Deloitte and asking, being asked by Deloitte, would you please become a partner with us?
And what was your answer?
Yeah, duh.
Well, hey, you got to finish that story. You can't leave me hanging there.
Well, so we became a partner. They have fed us so much work. They've helped us to grow, and the relationship just keeps budding over and over and over again.
Well, congratulations on that. So real quick, how big is Innovative Solutions? I don't think we talked about that.
No, we'll top about 5 million this year. This will be our best year.
Okay. 5 million revenue. How many bodies?
Let me correct that. That's net. That's not gross. That's net. There's six of us. And then we have about 90 contractors that we use on a 1099 basis.
How has COVID affected you guys? Has it affected you guys real bad?
It really hasn't. I hate to say that, because I know so many businesses are so negatively affected. But all of these things that we do can be done remotely. We've done them remotely. And we just don't have to go out risk our health or risk the client's health, unless it's what they want. And then, you know, we wear our N95 masks when we're on client sites and, sure, you know, wash our hands until they're chafing. But we're very careful, to be sure that we are compliant with the client's COVID policies.
I just had that conversation with my boss yesterday that I'm like, I have never used so much hand sanitizer in my entire life. It's just crazy. you know, I'm getting to wonder, I'm like, am I going to start getting drunk just from putting all this stuff on my hand? I mean, it's alcohol based, so I just got to watch out how much I'm putting on here. But and that's great. And you know, you said you hate to say that you haven't really been affected, but at the same time, that's the very reason why, you know, we've been talking with the ecosystem of small government contractors, because I don't know a single government contractor that's been affected by COVID, because the show must go on, right? We still have to protect the United States. There are still certain technical aspects behind things like you guys, right? Data warehouses. It still needs to take place. People still want their Starbucks, even if it is only order by phone, or, you know, Amazon is huge. You know, things are still going on in the background. That stuff still needs to stay up and running. So,
Nate, in closing, just if any of the folks that, are listening to the podcast would like to reach out to us, I'll give you my direct cell phone. It's area code 719-494-6182. Again, 719-494-6182. I've given you our website, inn-sols.com. You can find my email there. You just poke around on our website for a little bit. We are revamping it and getting it, getting some SEO on there, but we're just in the process of that. But just give us a call, and even if you just want to chit chat for a little bit about these things, we can even just do a short overview. We don't even have to go to a demo, but we can do overviews, we can do demos, we can do proofs of concept. We're there to help an organization. That's what we want to be about.
Well, and I know we don't have time for it today, but if like Robert said, go out to his website, and that website again is inn-sols.com. He even has under his solutions tab, I'll let you guys take a look. He has higher education, he has cloud technology stuff out there. They offer more than what we've talked here, the way it looks. Some training.
Absolutely.
So I want to say thanks, Robert. And I know everybody always is like, man, how am I gonna fill a 45-minute episode of a podcast? Well, you know, once you get into it, before you know it, you're done. You're like, man, I didn't even hit all the points I wanted to hit. So I'm going to give you one last chance. Is there anything that you really wanted to touch on that you want to let us know? You got a favorite dog or, you know, anything like that? And before we shut things down tonight.
Yeah, we do, as a little side thing, we do raise German Shepherds. We have in our house, we have four German Shepherds, and they're our family pets that we produce some beautiful animals. And we actually donate a percentage of every litter to the Rocky Mountain Service Dogs. Those are dogs for people with disabilities. So that organization then doesn't have to go out and pay thousands, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 for a dog. They get them. They get a few of them from us every year, and we're very honored to be just a small part of that organization.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I do see. Before I go, I do want to say I'm on your website, and you guys are you're an SDVOSB, right? Service Disabled Veteran Owned Small Business.
That is correct. We are, and the Department of Labor has actually honored us with their Hire Vets program. A Hire Vets First. Not everybody in our company is a veteran, but we do have a Hire First Vets policy. And the Department of Labor actually gave us a Platinum Award this year for our efforts.
Well, I appreciate that. Coming from somebody, I have never served myself. I've just been a DOD contractor my entire career. So anybody that's out there that served, I do. And because we just finished with the Veterans Day, I want to say thanks to anybody and everybody that has served for our country. We appreciate everything that you guys have done and are still doing for our community, and our country. So, with that, Robert, I want to say thank you again for, coming on our podcast here. We thoroughly enjoyed the conversation tonight, and, I hope that, if somebody out there is listening, that you guys need any type of database help, you know, any of the big data, analytics, contact Robert in his company. He's given you all his information here. The phone number, 719-494-6182, or his website, inn-sols.com. So with that, thanks again, Robert. And until next week, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.